It's been a long time since I've been up here, and I'm privileged. I'm excited. So if I start speaking fast, it means I'm just excited this morning. Now, I just want to ask one question. Who put the songs on for this morning? The song Let It Rain, what was that all about?
Showers of blessings.
Well, it's been raining enough. I don't know. So I was looking on social media yesterday, I think it was Facebook, and I saw in Houston there was a shark swimming on the highway. I don't know if it was photoshopped. I don't know how they did it, but if that's the case, it needs to stop raining. So that was actually funny this morning when I was thinking about that. I'm going to talk about something today that's a secret, but it's a secret that most believers already know, but we're going to uncover that secret today. So when I was young, I had a friend that I told a secret to, and by the end of the day, everybody knew it. And I told him, this is a secret, don't tell nobody. So everybody knew. So I want y'all to do what my friend did. I'm going to tell y'all the secret today, but you can tell everybody. So hopefully that works that way, same way. Everybody wants this in life. This is everybody's goal, is to have this. And it's one of the fruits of the spirits in Galatians 5:22, and it's called the spirit of peace. And we're going to talk about peace today. And before we just dive into it and discover what that secret is, I'm going to pray for our time this morning. Lord God, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for, God, the people that are here. I pray that, Lord, that you use me this morning, that my nervousness and my excitement doesn't get in the way of your word coming forth. God, I pray that you just give me the wisdom to speak your words, God, this morning. And your people, Lord, to know your word, God, and to apply it to their lives immediately. I thank you for this opportunity, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Before I get started, I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, I'm kind of dating myself, there was a time where I read about these people that made these investments. They were bad investments, and these people literally were jumping off bridges because they lost money, and they were ending their lives because of a bad investment. So it kind of showed what they were trusting in. And also, I was thinking of, I've seen people lose loved ones and don't know how to cope with that. And so they're turning to drugs and alcohol or some unhealthy habits to cope with that. And I also seen people, in education, been in education for 15 years, I've been a teacher. And unfortunately, there's kids that end their lives because they broke up with their girlfriend and they broke up with their boyfriend. And obviously, that meant a lot to them. Obviously, that meant everything to them if they took it that far. But on the flip side of that, I also experienced some people that go to this church that are in this congregation that have gone through some very, very difficult and tragic times. And I had the privilege of being around these people as we were loving on them and going through it with them to experience God's peace, a peace that passes understanding, and then a sense of God's presence being there as well. And just for an example, I've already spoke to these people. I can talk about it. The holidays, at one particular time, they were going through the sudden loss of a loved one. And at the same time, they were going through also cancer, dealing with cancer. And around that time, we were there with the holidays at their house here and there. And I just sensed just an overwhelming presence of God there. And just an overwhelming sense of peace. And Kelly sang a song, It Is Well With My Soul. And when she sang that song, it's something that I felt the peace of God in the presence when we were going through those things. And also the Abodes, there was a time when we started the ministry, and Philip, and we had another pastor, both starting the ministry, and Philip had to take over it at a time, just all of a sudden, just suddenly. That's a tough thing. Some people can just say, no, that's okay, I'll just do something else. But around the same time, a little bit later, he's had to deal with cancer also in his family. And when that time was going on, I could sense, when I talked to Philip one time, I sensed God's presence and his protection and a sense of peace on him as I was discussing that with him. And we were talking about something about purchasing the land. We haven't even done that yet at that point. And I must have said something negative, I don't know, but he may not even remember saying this, but he said, if God wants it done, it's going to happen. And he was so calm and collective. I was like, man, how could you just be calm like that? You know, and I never really understood that. But when he said that, I can understand, man, he knew that God was in control. So I just showed you two opposite thought processes on going through things. One, you know, is man, they just have despair. There's no hope. The other, man, your peace cannot be taken away because God is there and he's guarding you. And we're going to go over that, and that's kind of what the secret of peace is. And I'm going to go over a couple of scriptures and kind of examine that a little bit deeper. I'm going to read Philippians 4, verse 4 through 13. And I'm going to put it up on the board for you. Yeah. It's quite a bit of reading, so bear with me on this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That end verse, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Man, I noticed that this is one of the verses that's always taken out of context. That's one of the most popular verses to be taken out of context. I remember Ray Lewis won the Super Bowl, and he said, he was on the sidelines just walking back and forth talking about, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I mean, that's just one of those things that people just always take those out of context. But we're going to put it in the right context today and what Paul was trying to think about when he was saying this. We're going to look at three areas of peace this morning. Now, first we're going to go over the opposite of peace. The opposite of peace is anxiety, it's fear, and it's crippling worry or debilitating worry. And I'm not talking about care, normal care and concern. If you're living in this world, you're going to have normal care and concern for things, you know, things that you love. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this morning of being just completely wiped out by these things, by anxiety, fear, and worry. We're going to look at three areas of peace this morning. Let me see if I get this right. Ooh. Okay, there you go. First is going to be the two characters of peace, and then we're going to go over the three disciplines of peace and the secret of peace. But first, let's look at the characters of peace. Number one is an inner calm and poise and equilibrium. And that's kind of what I was talking about when I was, you know, hanging out with the Holidays or hanging out with the Bodays. It was that inner calm and that poise and that equilibrium. It's like, you know, nothing really rattled their chains at that time. You know, and then I've been on the other end where I see people just totally flip out. You know, and so that's a difference between, you know, godly peace and worldly peace. But in verse 11 and 12, Paul says, I've learned to be content in every situation. I noticed that he didn't say I was gifted in being content in every situation. Some people do have the gift of brushing the dirt off their shoulders, so to speak. You know, they don't let things get to them too much. And then some people, you know, they don't have that gift. But Paul says, I've learned this. I was wondering, how did you learn how to have the inner calm and that peace and equilibrium? And also, the number two thing that I did not mention is the sense of God's presence and protection. How do you learn to have those things? So I examined the scriptures a little bit more, and it says, have experienced being brought low. He has experienced abounding. He's experienced being hungry and well-fed. And God used Paul's experiences in his life to teach him in every situation how to be poised and how to be calm and have that sense of God's protection and that sense of God's presence. It's not natural. It was something that was learned. And that gives me hope, because the things that we go through in our life, you know, we could look at it two different ways, and the two different ways I already mentioned, but we really need to see what Paul said. See, you know, just kind of look at the big picture, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But that's what Paul is saying, that all the things that he went through, man, it taught him how to be calm, how to be peace, and have that equilibrium. It's because he felt God's presence, you know, because he loved God, you know, and he served God. So he felt God's presence in those times, and he felt a sense of protection also. And number two, a sense of God's presence and being protected. In verse 7, it says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. I was looking at what guard meant in that particular verse, and it meant literally to have an army guarding you. So, you know, if you got God's army guarding you, you don't have to worry about nothing, because nothing can defeat God's army. And on number three, let me go next one. Okay, the three disciplines of peace: thinking, thanking, and loving. And we're going to go over the thinking first. In verse 8, he says, we are just going, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and whatever is just. We're just going to take the first three and look at those. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and whatever is just. When I was wondering what Paul was alluding to in here, what is he talking about? What is true, honorable, and just? But it's the word of God. It's the overall redemptive plan that God was going to restore man through Jesus Christ. You know, it's the entire Bible. It's not actually just certain stories in the Bible, but the entire theme of the Bible, which is God's redemptive plan. So that's what he's telling us to think about. And I'm sure that Paul was talking about Isaiah 26 and 3, where it says, you would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And we all want that perfect peace. And what it's saying is our mind stayed on him, stayed on the gospel. And when the term stayed means it's a constant term. It's not in the morning, in the afternoon, during lunch, or whatever. It is a constant term. So we keep our mind stayed on Jesus Christ and the gospel, and you will have that peace. You'll experience that peace that Paul was talking about. And what the world will do will tell you is to block out that. You know, if you're having an issue in your life, man, block it out. Take some medicine. If you're having depression, take medicine. Or take a vacation or get a hobby. You know, sometimes we do need medicine. I'm not going to discredit that. But to run away from the problem, to mask it, to hide it, that's what the world is trying to get people to do when you're going through something, you know, tough in your life, and it's really difficult to deal with. But Paul's saying, don't run from the problem, but face it, you know, and look at the big picture. And what he's saying is, man, look at the gospel in your life and look at the deal that you're going through and line them up together and see how they compare. If we do that every single time that we have an issue, man, and we look at the gospel and as it refers to us, the grace that God has given us, you know, the gospel that we have accepted, you know, that we don't deserve anything but death. We don't deserve anything. But God has bestowed all of his grace upon us. And the things that we go through, and we look at those two side by side, man, that other thing is probably going to pale in comparison. And that's kind of what Paul is saying. Get the big picture of things. A lot of times when we go through things, we look at the micro. You know, just the problem will be right there, and we're so close to it, we can't see around it. But Paul's trying to get us to look at the macro. I always look at the big picture. I was talking to my wife last night with, you got to pick up these grace glasses, these glasses of the gospel, and put it on and look at the problem. And then you'll see things so much differently. You won't just see the problem. You will see, you know, that where it is in light of the gospel. Now, the discipline of thanking. Oh, I went too far. Discipline of thanking. Verse 6, it says, don't be anxious for anything, but make requests to God with thanksgiving. Now, that's a natural reaction for us when we ask God for something. Then we wait a little bit later till he answers that, and then we come back with what we call a praise report later on, no matter how late it's going to be. But this is telling us something different. It says, don't be anxious for anything, but make requests to God with thanksgiving. Man, that means you immediately thank him as you're making the request. You know, that kind of seems, you know, it seems kind of weird to do that. But the text says that, how is it possible for us to thank him beforehand? I'm glad y'all asked that question. Let's look at Romans 8 and 28, and I'm just going to paraphrase it because I don't think I put it on the board. I don't think I have Philip put it on the board. But it says, all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. To me, that means everything that happens is going to accomplish two things. One, God is going to get the glory out of it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's two. One, it's going to work out for your good, and two, God is going to get the glory out of it. Now, giving the big picture thought of everything that we go through in that sense, and you look at those things, and you ponder on those things, and you ponder on the gospel, man, those problems will not wipe you out, no matter what it is. You know, I struggle with this because when I was 9 years old, I went to school right up the street here, John Burroughs. I know exactly where Cheyenne Park is. And grew up with John Starks, so when they named it John Starks Park, I was one of the happiest people because I actually knew him personally. But when I grew up there, I was 9 years old, and I lost my mom to cancer. And my dad wasn't in the picture. She raised all 10 of us literally by herself, so it was a tough life anyway. And then one day I just wake up, and it took her pretty suddenly, and she just wasn't there. You know, 30 years later, I still don't see the good in that, you know, but I trust that God has the big picture. You know, we've seen things like God sees things with the big picture. You know, some of these small things won't even bother us. And that, to me, that wasn't a small thing, but you may not ever see what you think is good out of the situation that you go through. But we trust that God sees it and God knows it. And if we believe these two things, that he's working it out for our good, and also that, you know, he's going to get the glory out of it, then it helps deal with those problems a little bit more. When we ask God for requests, we trust that he's going to do what's best. Sorry, I'm going over things again. All right, now, this is a big example. This is the example of the cross. Jesus' friends and his disciples and his family were looking at him on the cross. Now, they were sad, you know, they were questioning things. You know, they were probably saying, how could God let this happen? Or how could Jesus allow this to happen? But, you know, they didn't understand that they were witnessing one of the most significant things in the history of anything, was God's redemptive plan right there. So that's just an example how they only saw the small picture. They really didn't see the big picture. But Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, the cross, yes, was it painful? Absolutely. But did Jesus see the big picture? Absolutely. You know, he saw that, man, when this happened, it was the single most significant thing to ever happen. And now, because of that, you know, we can have a relationship with God the Father. Now, if they saw that, you think they would be worshiping right then and thankful, or would they still be worried and scared and concerned? See, it's that big picture thinking that Paul wants us to see. Excuse me. Now we're going to go to loving, which is number 3. I think I have it on there. Oh, I'm way off of it, man. I'm just going to go off of it. But loving and is thinking, thanking, and loving. Those are the three things that we had. And this is the loving part I want to talk about. In verse 8, it says, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable. We have to find God absolutely lovely. We have to find him absolutely admirable. If we don't find God lovely or worthy of our highest love, of what I call supreme love, man, we will never experience this peace. Because our peace will be in whatever we love the most. And that's the one thing that says in Romans 8 and 28, it says, for those who love God. And that love means the supreme love. That's number one. Now, of course, if you're living in this world and you have family, you're going to love your family. You know, you may even love your job. You know, you may even love whatever you do, your extracurricular activities or whatever it is. But we're talking about here a supreme love, a love that's far and beyond the number two. I used to get excited every year when the BCS rankings came out for college football. It's my most exciting time of the year. I used to try to guess who the top team was going to be. And a lot of time I get it right, but sometimes I don't. But that top team is so close to the second team, man, it could have been either one. And see, that's not the kind of love that Paul's talking about here. The love of God, it's got to be your BCS number one. Everybody, it's a consensus. The number two is so far away, you can't even see it. See, it can't be barely number one. It has to be all or none. I mean, it has to be number one, numero uno. And that's important because you will never find that peace unless God is number one in your life. And finally, we're going to talk about the secret of peace. Paul said he learned to be content in every situation that he faced. And we already looked at Romans 8 and 28 and see why he could do that. Because all things are working out for our good if we love him and we're called according to his purpose. But we have to remember these things, and I've already had it up there. But God is working things out for your good, big picture. Okay, look at the big picture. And number two, it will bring him glory. And verse 13 is the last verse on there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not you can start floating over water because God gives you strength. It's not you can run through a brick wall because God gives you strength. People will say that sometimes. Or you're going to win the championship because God gives you strength. But Paul is talking about I can endure all situations that God allows me to go through because he will give me the strength to go through it. And if we keep those two things in mind of what he would accomplish by the things that are in our lives, then that will help us deal with the issues a little bit more of life that comes through. My favorite rap song is Awesome God by R. Swift. And there was one verse in there that kind of summed it up for me. I listen to it all the time, probably listen to it a million times. But he says, nothing exists without God's signature to allow it. Now, if God allows you to go through something, then he signed off on it. It was hard for me to think about that when my mom died, you know. It's hard for me to think about that when we're going through hard times. Like, God, you allowed this? But when we have the gospel glasses on, you know, and we look at it in the big picture, how Paul was talking about the secret of contentment, the secret. When we look at things like that, man, it changed everything. Now I can have confidence that, man, God saw a big picture. It had to work this way. It's going to work out for his for my good and overall and his glory. When I mentioned earlier about the bow days and the holidays, think about you going through a very tough time in your life. And your unsaved family and friends are there with you as you're going through those things. And they see that you don't lose your mind. And they see you just don't flip out and go crazy. And they see you trusting God and with that peace that passes understanding. When they see that, that's a bigger tool for the gospel than sharing the bridge illustration or any other way. Because they see you, the walking billboard, a person who's walking to the beat of another drum. Not the drum of this world, but the drum with peace. You always have peace that passes understanding. That's the greatest evangelistic tool that you can have. Even if you're not outside passing out tracts, even if you're not going to the prisons, and doing the bridge illustration with people, they see your life, they see how you deal with adversity, and they see how you deal with tragic situations in your life, and that you always point back to Christ and the cross. Man, that's the huge tool that we can use to promote the gospel. We can be the walking billboards just through our experiences alone. So the secret is Paul learned through all of his experiences to have an equilibrium and poise and calmness. And also, Lord, to have the Lord's protection all around him as he's going through it. If you're not a believer today, you don't have your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, and you don't love him supremely, as number one, not like the BCS where you have to figure out whether he's number one or not. If he's not number one in your life and he is not the number one love in your life, you will not experience that peace. And this morning, if there's anyone here that haven't crossed that line of commitment to give his life to, or her life, I'm sorry, to the Lord, and when you give your life to the Lord, you take up your cross, you know, you deny yourself because yourself every single day is going to want to do some things to make yourself better. Well, then, you know, there's the gospel. Now, when I was younger, and I was over at John Burroughs down here, and there was some grass, a patch of grass, and a couple of my friends were around the grass. And I said, I was wondering what they were doing. I ran up on them. I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, man, that grass tastes just like pickles. I said, man, y'all are crazy, man. Of course, it's like third grade. And he said, we dare you to, you know, to eat some of it. I said, man, I ain't finna eat no grass. And then somebody said, man, I double dog dare you. Back then, when you in third grade, double dog dare was big. It ain't a regular dare. It's like dare on steroids. So I was like, man, I'll do it. I looked around because, you know, teachers were, picked it up, ate it. Man, it tastes just like pickles. And I ate more of it. And by the end of the day, I was in the nurse's office. But, you know, with a stomach ache. But I say that to say this. I double dog dare you to wake up every single morning and preach the gospel to yourself. Man, just tell yourself what the gospel is and what it means to you. And then all day long, think about it. You know, like I say this to my basketball players, chew on it. That means think about it all day long. Chew on the gospel in the morning and throughout the day and see if it doesn't change your perspective about the things that you go through on a daily basis. I've tried this the last couple of days, and I'm going to be honest and transparent. I'm going through some of the hardest trials of my life right now. You know, but as I'm going through those things and I'm just looking at the gospel in the big picture. And all those other things seems like it just, man, it's not as bad as it would have been if I did not think about the grace of God in my life. You know, we would not have this peace. We won't have access to this peace if we don't cross that line of commitment and make God our king and trust in Jesus Christ. We won't have access to that peace. And if there is something that's competing with God's love in your life, I pray this morning that, you know, that he exposes that to you. And you ask God, God, make you number one in my life. You know, make you number one in my life. Because everybody wants this peace. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, everybody wants this peace. And this peace is a huge tool for the gospel when, you know, everybody around you, if they're unsaved, they see how you handle situations and how you point back to the cross. Man, that's bigger than any other way that you can evangelize the gospel. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I just thank you for, Lord, all that you do for us, God. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. I pray that there's anyone here today, God, that haven't made you number one and just the number one love in their lives, God, I just pray that you expose that to them. Lord, I pray also, Lord, that you manifest yourself to us, Lord, and let us see the big picture of, you know, just the gospel of grace in our lives. God, I pray also, Lord, that we go through trials, Lord, pointing back to the gospel and giving you glory out of it. And God, if we pray for a petition, God, and it doesn't go our way as we see it, God, I just pray that we trust in you, that you have the big picture in mind. And God, you're going to do what's best for us also, and you're going to get the glory out of it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, by your Spirit. Amen.